This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, where I hope each week to encourage you to not run away from home. Let's go ahead and stay home. Okay. This is episode 135, and I am talking to my new friend, Amber Runyon. We totally hit it off. Didn't really know much of anything about her before we got on the phone, but you'll see that we find that we have a lot in common. It's really neat when that happens. Amber tells her story, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but she basically was just doing her regular job. And along the way, God completely shifted her direction, gave her a different passion, and now she's on a wildly different path than she originally thought. And it's been super hard, but really, really good. This is a story about hope. This is a story about grief. And some of the hardest part about this story is that it's still unfolding. It's not finished. It's not tidy, but we're all in the middle of unfinished, untidy stories. Additionally, I know y'all love candles, and she makes candles, and they smell so good. So you need to know about Amber for a variety of reasons. I also wanted you to know that in about 2 weeks, in the 1st of May, I'm going to open up my next round of the Wellness Revelation study. This will be my third time through it. I get something new out of it every single time. So stay tuned for that. If you want to make sure that you don't miss the signups, it usually fills up in about a day or two. Go to momstrugglingwell.com and go ahead and get on the mailing list, and so you don't miss that. Also, if you follow along at Mom Struggling Well on Facebook and Instagram, you'll hear about it then too. All right, let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Amber. Hey, Amber, how's it going today?
Good, how are you?
I'm so good. I know you just had pizza with your people in your shop.
Yep, it's a nice sunny afternoon here.
Where are you?
Enjoying some pizza. Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, I've never been to Ohio.
I mean, you are definitely missing out on some fantastic candles and some good weather.
I love it. How long has your candle company been open? First, tell us about yourself. I'm getting ahead of myself.
We are jumping around a little bit. So I was a nurse, and I traveled and did medical clinics kind of all over the world. One landed me in Ethiopia, where I fell in love with a little girl named Mulu.
Mulu?
Mulu, which means to be made complete.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so I just kind of continued to go back to her village over and over and over again for going on 6 years, which is crazy to me.
So you would come back to Ohio and then go back?
Yeah, I did it 4 times a year for like the first 4 years. And then after I started the company, it became like twice a year, just because it's a little harder to get over there running a company.
Okay, so hold it though. I thought I read that you were a hospice nurse.
That's correct. I was. That's what started me traveling kind of all over doing medical clinics. So yes, I was a nurse before I did what I do now.
But was Mulu dying?
No, she's not dying. So I just led medical clinics. They weren't hospice clinics. They were just like just regular medical clinics over in Haiti and Ethiopia, Honduras. Where else did I go? Kenya.
Wow.
Yeah. So Mulu was not dying. Okay. But no. So I landed over there and then ended up falling in love with her and then just kept going back. And then I saw two little girls being trafficked in the middle of the day.
What?
And I was like, what's happening? Like, what is that? And he's like, oh, they're being sold. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? He said it so matter of fact. I was like, I'm sorry, they're what? And he's like, oh, they're being sold. They're like blindfolded and they're being taken from one brothel to the other. And it was middle of the day. And I was like, that can't possibly be correct. Sure enough, I came back to Ohio and started Googling Columbus, Ohio's biggest social issue. And we are the 4th in the United States for human trafficking. I thought, well, that's not really appropriate. Wow. And then we shouldn't live in that kind of world. And so that kind of led me on the journey of figuring out a way to fight human trafficking.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot there.
We go deep quick, Emily.
Yes. Huh. Did you like just want to go run after those girls and like,
It was very hard. So where we work at is in Ambo, Ethiopia, which is kind of west of the city, 3 hours outside of it. So it's very impoverished. I am one of like 3 white people to go there. It's a very worn, torn area. And so every ounce of me wanted to jump out of that van and go get them. Yeah. Every ounce of me knew that I would be killed right there. And so I just kind of stayed there and did not. And the thing is that I probably had seen it prior to that and just didn't like realize it. I just happened to be looking out the van window at the right time, wrong time, however you want to think of it, and saw these two little girls. And I was like, what is going on? And he just said it so matter of fact. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Isn't that amazing how callous we can get to ridiculous injustice going on around us? I remember when I lived in China, there was, in the middle of winter, they would have kids that, like, were basically naked begging. And then you knew that anything you gave them went to the people who were standing, watching, and making sure that, I don't know. It was just, I mean, I still think about them. I've been back for almost a decade.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happens in our very own city, though, right? Yeah. I mean, like, the same thing happens in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
The same thing happens in really in every city. We are just so desensitized to it. Like, we see it portrayed in movies. It's the same thing with violence. That's why there's so much violence going on right now, is that all of us, including our kids, are desensitized to this. I just read this book called Stop Teaching Our Kids to Kill. It's fascinating. Fascinating in how the media and video games and social media have really changed and has taught our kids to kill. I mean, it was a quick read, but I mean, it was probably one of the most fascinating things I've ever read. I was like, wow, that's exactly why this is happening.
Isn't it so overwhelming, though, like, to deal with the trafficking? All, how do you take care of yourself?
Something that I really, in the last 6 to 8 months, really have got on a journey of really self-care and therapy, because I started running this company and it got really big and I got pretty well known in Columbus. And it was like this whole new world. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was just working constantly and got really burnt out.
Okay.
And so I kind of went on this like deep therapeutic journey through therapy. And now I do yoga.
Good.
And honest to God, my friends die laughing every time I tell them I'm going to yoga. I'm the last person that would go to yoga class. But now I love it. Like, I literally can't wait for Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I love that. Do you do like hot yoga or what?
Oh, girl, I need to tell you a story about hot yoga. So I do vinyasa. Is that
right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's flow. I'm an athletic kind of individual. I tried gentle yoga and I was like, I can't. My mind is not made for this.
Okay.
And so I moved into flow yoga, which I really thoroughly enjoy. And so I wanted to do like a different class. It was in the evening. I was like, I really just want to do yoga tonight. I was just kind of had a crappy day. So I got on this like little app and pulled up the closest yoga to me. And the class title was 26. I'm like, well, that's a weird name, but okay, sure, I'll go to it. So I get there. And this yoga instructor, who's about the size of like my pinky, hands me this towel. And she's like, you're going to need this. And she's like, and do you have a bra on? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you're probably going to want to take off your shirt too. And I was like, oh, no, 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 honey. And we don't, I don't practice this kind of yoga. So I walk in this room. It's about 7,000 degrees with these really intense yoga people. And I'm like, oh, no. 90 minutes later. So it was like some Burga yoga or something. I have no idea. I'm sure that there are yogis that are like, what is this girl talking about? But yeah, I mean, it was about 5,000 degrees and you did the same 26 movements for an hour and 30 minutes. And I literally thought I was going to die.
Whoa. Did you leave though? And you were like, that was awesome or?
So I really enjoy being hot. I love the sauna. I do not enjoy being that hot and trying to do moves that my body just doesn't know how to do.
So you're not going to go back?
No, probably not do hot yoga, but I really enjoy my Tuesday and Thursday yoga classes.
So good.
Yeah, so that's something that we really started to incorporate as a company too. I kind of took that initiative as the leader of the company and kind of really do self-care as a company, because we will get burned out. It is overwhelming and it is depressing, and you can only read so many articles and see so many overdoses and see so many relapses before you're like, is any of this really making a difference?
Yes. Do you have a dream that you want to start, or maybe an idea for a business, but you don't know how to actually get it up and going? Maybe you're trying to figure out how you can make more income from home so you can finally go on vacation every once in a while, for heaven's sakes. My friend Karen is the founder of the Pursuit Community, and she is going to help us out with this problem. So Karen's launching a new experience that I am personally going to be going on, and I can't wait. And I wanted to tell you about it in case you wanted to come too. So she's created a new experience called a mastermind retreat, and only 20 women get to go. So over the course of 6 months, Karen's going to walk with all 20 women, help them identify their strengths, dream up an idea, turn the idea into a profitable income stream that continues to make money while you sleep. That sounds pretty great to me. Karen has a really impressive history of building very profitable businesses. And so joining this group is like getting your hand held by someone who actually knows what they're doing. Karen's goal is to have your dream ready, launched, and making money by August. And because she loves Mom Struggling Well listeners almost as much as I do, she is going to give my listeners a coupon code to save $325 off the ticket cost. Visit pursuitcommunity.com and click mastermind for all the details. At registration, use the code MSW and you'll save $325. Now, I need you to know there is one spot left. So if you are thinking about this, do it now. And I will see you in Nashville. We skipped ahead, and I want to just everyone to understand your company and what do you do exactly?
So I'm the chief candle maker. That's what I like to tell everybody. I don't really make them anymore, which is kind of sad. So we are both a nonprofit and a for-profit. And so let me explain kind of how those two things work.
Okay.
So our nonprofit's name is Legacy. And the whole concept behind that is that we work with the women and children over in Ethiopia. So we have 166 kids that we pulled off the street and out of orphanages and put them into full-time foster care by way of raising up the entire community. So I went to the community. I'm like, look, if we're to care for the orphans in America, you need to do the same thing in your country too. So we'll come along beside you, but like you guys are going to have to really become a part of the solution as well. And so we started a foster care program, which has really raised the entire community up out of poverty.
So they were down with it.
Oh, they were down with it. Yeah. But they just needed to know that we could help them. They're like, okay. We can't feed our own babies. Like, how are we going to take in these extra kids on the street that are begging for food?
Mm.
Like, perfect. As long as you're willing to take them in and care for them as if they're your own, we'll help you financially.
Okay.
Same thing that happens here in the States. We could literally do a whole podcast on foster care, but
yeah,
we'll cap that there. And so then we have a co-op over in Ethiopia where there are 16 women who all work together in a co-op, and people in the community can come and get loans through the co-op. And so what we do is we kind of help them with their loan management. And so like one of our news stories that we just put out was that a woman wanted to, she had a laundry business and she was going around to all these different houses and collecting laundry. And so she knew that she could do it more efficiently and make more money if she had a water tap. So she proposed, you know, let me have $36 to get this water tap in. She was able to grow her business and now has 2 employees.
Whoa.
$36. We should do that all day long.
Yeah. Right?
And then our nonprofit here in the state really focuses on like the coaching, the counseling, and the employment of women, which is how we kind of bring in the for-profit side of things. So our for-profit is 11th Candle Co., which is the candle company. Really funny. I don't really like candles.
No.
I just Googled the cheapest company to start, and it was a candle company. So $250 of my very own dollars started the company.
$250.
I know, right?
I love it.
$250. We're going strong now. And so.
So you've made back your investment?
I have made back my investment. I didn't have a salary for the first year and a half, but I made back my investment.
So good.
So I started a candle company. And the whole point of that is just to create employment opportunities for women. And now what we're kind of branching into is this idea, partnering with a nonprofit to find these other companies within our community who are willing to take a chance on these women and employ them. So we'll say, hey, they're in our program. Here's what's going on with them. And then we still coach and counsel and do all the things with the women. But then we're able to multiply our workforce so that more women have the opportunity to be employed.
But this is happening in Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell, where are the women making the candles?
In Ohio, sorry.
Okay.
And so here's the deal, Emily. They don't want our blessing bags. They want jobs. And they don't want our used t-shirts. They want their kids back. And so when we really sit down and talk to them about what they really want, they really want jobs and opportunities. It's incredible to think about all the different ways that we could come together and really just raise these people up instead of just continuing to hand out to them.
Yes. Okay. So the women that you find are in what situation? Their kids have been taken or they have been sex trafficked in Ohio or what?
So they are either survivors of human trafficking, exploitation, or addiction. And so oftentimes all 3 of those things kind of come together.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have their kids. Sometimes they don't have their kids. We also work inside the prison. We employ women while they're still incarcerated so that we can get a little jump start on them coming out of incarceration.
So smart. I used to work in the jail system, and recidivism is, that's such a hard word to say. Recidivism is so high because they're just going to, they don't know what to do when they get out.
Right. And so what I learned was that women inside the prison make 11 cents an hour, which is slavery. I don't care how you cut it or how you try to justify it. That's slavery. And so I thought, well, that's not fair. We should probably change that. And so a 2-year-long process working with the prison board, I'm like, just let me employ them. Let me employ them at a fair living wage. We'll come in, we'll train them, we'll work with them. And then they leave with money in their hand, right? The average woman leaves prison with $29 and the clothes on her back. And 1 out of every 5, there's somebody waiting there to pick them up. That means that 4 women leave the prison having literally no idea where they're going. And we wonder why they're reincarcerated within 2 weeks of getting out of prison.
Well, yeah. Well, in probation, it's really hard.
Right. Because you have to have a job. You have to have a place.
Yeah. And you have to show up at the right place at the right time, but also be working. And you probably don't have transportation.
Girl, I can't do that. And I got to fire the company and I have a car. Right.
Yes.
It's hard.
It is hard.
And so we were just trying to find ways to be able to reach women so that we could really get them, 1, when they want to have this change in their life. And 2, so that we could get them ready to be full-time workforce out in the community, giving back to the community. These women have so much to give to the community. We just don't give them the opportunity.
Yeah. All right. How do you know which ones are actually want to be helped or changed? Because I'm sure you've gotten burned a lot of times.
Yeah. That's a really great question. And I wish that I had like this formula, and I'm actually really trying to work on kind of like researching this and figuring out like there has to be some like common threads.
Yeah.
But really, you just kind of know after a few weeks, you just kind of know, does she really want this? And so those are the women that we're trying to really reach and to work with and to help cultivate. A lot of that comes through the therapy, though. The more that we can work with them on their traumas, the more that they're able to be successful humans as well as employees.
Yeah. What kind of therapy do you do? Like EMDR or what?
Oh my gosh. I knew we were going to be best friends. Yes, EMDR. I am like the biggest fan of EMDR.
Yeah. It's good.
Literally has completely and totally changed my life personally. And
me
as well
too.
As the women in our shop. I love EMDR. I mean, I don't love it. You know, it's a love-hate thing, right?
It is a love-hate thing.
I can't believe those words came out of my mouth, but it's like a love-hate thing, but it is absolutely game-changing. Everybody in the world should know about EMDR.
They definitely should. Awesome. Okay, so the women in your shop, you have like an actual brick and mortar place you do this?
That's correct. Yeah. We have a retail shop that's opening up in just a few weeks where we will also do production. And so the whole idea is to really allow the people that are buying our products to really get in touch with our brand, to see that the women that we employ are just like everybody else. If we can break down that barrier so that people don't see sex trafficked woman or inmate or whatever tag that we want to put on each other.
Yep.
And so what we really want to do is bring our community in and let them see that the people that they're so apprehensive of or so unsure of, or I've had people say, well, I don't know how to talk to them. Mm-hmm. How do you talk to me?
Yeah.
Like you just talk to them. And so that was one of the big reasons why we're opening up a retail space, is to be able to allow people to really come in and experience our brand.
So are the women going to also run the retail space or what?
Yeah. So our goal is to have the majority of the positions within our company run by women that have come through our program. So for example, Fee, she's our rock star. We just are continuing to promote her up. And so she'll eventually probably become director of operations. Okay. So we moved her up to like supervisor. And so, the women will run the retail shop and they run the shipping department and different things like that. So the whole idea is just to continue to empower them.
Okay. What have you seen God do in this situation with these women?
Gosh. So when I started this company, we had a launch party and I stood up on a stage in front of, that's probably 150, 200 people. And I told them that I believed that we could be the generation that went from raped to redeemed.
Mm.
And I believe that honestly, probably about 20%. I know, right? Nothing like going into it like blind. And
so
then
good.
I watched it happen.
Huh.
And then I watched it happen again. And then I watched it happen again, even if she relapsed.
Okay.
Even if she fell flat on her face, right? We say all the time, if you relapse, it's when.
Mm.
We do not encourage relapse, but like that's a part of the recovery process.
Okay. How do you extend grace and not enable?
Okay. So truth without grace is abuse.
Mm.
Grace without truth is enablement.
Okay.
So you have to be full of both truth and grace, just as Jesus was. He was always full of truth and grace. And so it is my responsibility to give truth and grace and not judgment. Never once was I ever given the authority to judge. And so I am to give truth and grace. And sometimes I have to give a lot of truth. And sometimes I have to give a lot of grace. Both of those are equally hard to give.
Yeah.
And so then I have to like just turn around and look at myself. And how many times have I needed truth? And how many times have I needed grace? So just this morning, something that we do is we celebrate failures as a company.
Really? Okay.
So I will never forget when this happened. So I walked into the shop. We were maybe like 6 months old. Literally had no idea what we were doing. And I walked into the shop one morning early and there's a tray of candles. So we're talking like maybe like 100 candles or so.
Okay.
And I go over and I smell them. I'm like, gosh, that one doesn't smell. Pick up the next one. I'm like, that one doesn't smell either. We sell scented candles. So I'm like, that's weird. And so I remember it was early in the morning and I was like, this is where the rubber meets the road. What am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? But I thought, okay, this is it. This is where it really happens. And so I drove down to our local bakery and I picked up a dozen donuts and I had them sitting on the table when the women got to work. And I said, okay, we made this whole rack of candles with no scent. And you just watch the shame just wash all over them. And I said, but today we're going to celebrate failures, because the fact is you're not using drugs.
Hmm.
You got up out of bed and you came to work. Is it a failure that we somehow forgot to scent our scented candles? Yes, absolutely. Am I super happy about throwing all these in the trash? No, but we're going to celebrate. And so the coolest thing happened, Emily. It was like a couple of weeks later and we have these like heat guns because, you know, you have to scent at a certain temperature and pour at a certain temperature. And one of the ladies accidentally dropped the heat gun down inside the pot of wax. And she pulls it out of the pot of wax and she holds it up in the air and she screams, "We get donuts!" So instead of wrapping it up in this paper towel and hiding it in the trash can, and then when I'm like, where's the heat gun? I would be like, I don't know. Mm. It was a culture that we celebrated it. And so today, end of the month, we all get together and you know, have donuts and talk about, what did we fail at this month? What did I as a CEO fail at? What did the company fail at? What did we as individuals fail at? And that creates this place where there's no shame. And this place where, like, people can step outside of where they would typically step into this place of creativity because they know that they can't actually fail.
Huh. That's so cool. I love it. The first thing to go when I get too busy is food preparation. Then I start eating junk food, and then I start feeling really bad about my life. That is why I love Daily Harvest. I popped on their website so that I could tell you what my favorite smoothies are, and I ended up ordering a whole nother month of smoothies. So I'm hooked. Many of you know I had surgery last week, and I had to eat soft food. I made sure my freezer was full of Daily Harvest smoothies, and because I was on pain meds and I just wasn't thinking super clearly, I accidentally put in my blender the top little piece of the blender, the little cap, and blended. I have a Vitamix, and it's such a serious blender that it blended the plastic cap of the lid into, it looked like Sonic ice. It was like the size of ice. And I was upset that I had basically blended up my own blender. It was like cannibalism, kind of, from the blender's perspective. But I was more upset that I ruined one of my Daily Harvest smoothies. That is how much I love these smoothies. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and vegetables right to your door. Each cup stays in the freezer, so it's not going to spoil. I always end up having to throw away fruits and vegetables. So I love that that doesn't happen with these smoothies. You just have to add water or your favorite milk. So with Daily Harvest, you can make an amazing meal or snack in like 30 seconds. My favorite Daily Harvest cup is, it's called Cacao. Is that, I mean, I just feel more comfortable saying cocoa, but you understand. That and avocado, forget about it. Change your life. And the chai coconut one is fantastic. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code MSW and you'll get 3 items for free in your first box. That's promo code MSW for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. That's daily-harvest.com. Okay, so you mentioned that something that you're kind of wrestling through is finding your authentic self. And I think that you're doing a lot of helping these women to find that in themselves. How are you doing that with yourself, and what are you learning? And
yeah, so thanks, Brené Brown, for wrecking everybody's life.
Totally.
I love her so much. And so I think what I started to see was that it was really hard to lead these women to their authentic self when I wasn't being authentic. And it wasn't like I was trying not to not be authentic. I just didn't really know exactly who I was.
Yeah.
So through therapy, through EMDR, and through different things, I really began to see like who I am and what do I really stand for. And really running a business will show you your authentic self. Mm. It will show you the areas that you absolutely are horrific at. And it will show you the areas that you're really good at. And it will show you what you actually value. And it will show you what you don't value. I mean, I'm sure it's kind of the same as being a mom. I don't have any kids. Everybody that I know has kids, but it's the same thing, right? When you have these kids, they just show you who you really are, right? Mm-hmm. So it just shows you, once you're really pressed beyond yourself, it shows you like who you really are. The key is, are you going to push into that and find your authentic self, right? Mm-hmm. Brené says this, or are you going to hustle outside of your own story? Mm-hmm. And so what I was doing is I was hustling outside of my own story, as well as like hustling to have a story, as well as hustling for my company to have a story. And then it got really hairy and really just hard. Like literally hard. I lost tons of friendships because of the business. I didn't have time to be a friend, and I lost who I was and all these different things. And so I found myself in this place of like just utter wilderness. And it was like, okay, wait a second. Who am I? And so I've been taking the time to really figure that out and really work through that. And so I think that that's definitely been my most area of struggle. But it was because I was faced with these women who were being their authentic selves. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's what we're talking about today.
Isn't it funny how we want it for other people, but we don't?
Right, but we don't want it for ourselves.
Yeah. Or we do, but we don't know if, I don't know, somehow we can't always tell that we're not being authentic.
Yeah. And it was really interesting. And it wasn't like I was like, I mean, I'm still who I am and I'm still, but I have a deeper sense for myself. I didn't have to like wonder for myself, who am I? Like now I can look and be like, no, that's who I am. And this is exactly what I stand for. And if you don't like it, that's fine. And I don't have to hustle so much anymore.
Okay.
Right? I'm just kind of like in this groove of like, this is who I am.
So how would you suggest women go about sorting that out for themselves?
Yeah. Therapy, EMDR.
Yeah.
I could not be a bigger fan. And I think that's such a huge thing, is that we don't talk about that in our culture, right? We kind of make this joke about, oh, therapy. No, like, I really honestly believe everybody should be in therapy. Yeah. And I really honestly believe that we need to start having more honest and vulnerable conversations, right? Like, you and I literally have known each other for a whole 20 minutes. Yeah. We're able to dig into this really deep place.
Yeah.
Because both of us have been in the wilderness, right? I wish we got little patches, but you just kind of know people that have done that, right? Like, I just, the second I talked to you, I was like, oh, she's one of us.
Yeah.
And so I think that the thing is that we just continue to talk about it and invite people into that. Like, yes, it is a super scary world, and you are going to find out things about yourself that you did not know. And you are going to find out things about yourself that you were like, oh my gosh, right? I judged everybody for that. And sure enough, here I, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But the beauty in that is that when you start to like get closer to being out of the wilderness, the more clear that becomes, the more that, yeah, friendships fall away, but they weren't meant for you anyways. And then you get into this really settled place where you're like, this is who I am. And but your growth doesn't stop. You just have to become more conscious and more aware. And then you're able to serve out of a much better place. I mean, I'm a much better leader this year than I was last year.
Yeah. What are you finding that you're stopping doing? You mentioned that you're like, don't have to hustle as hard.
Yeah. So I stopped going to things I don't want to anymore. Right.
Okay. Good.
Seriously. And I learned that my yeses can't be yeses if they're all yeses. Mm. And so I was doing everything halfway, if even halfway. And then the things that I wanted to do really well, I was just miserably failing at because I had nothing left to give. Here's the deal. I don't have to save the whole world. That's not my job.
It's good.
Yeah. I thought it was. Mm. I just need to serve the people that are right in front of me.
Yeah.
And be open to and be ready for others that will be placed in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I go to an underprivileged high school every Monday and hang out with kids. It has absolutely nothing to do with my mission, so to speak, but it has everything to do with my mission. Because if I can talk to these kids and figure out why boys want to buy girls and why girls feel like they have to hustle so hard to be bought by boys, if I can teach these kids their worthiness and if I can teach these kids their worth, then I won't have to employ them in 5 years.
Yeah, that's great.
So I can make that a yes. But you know what I can't make a yes? Is a rubber chicken lunch where it's just going to be a bunch of people standing around talking about how great they are and we're actually never going to accomplish anything. That can't be a yes. But I can give up 3 hours of my Monday morning and go hang out with these kids because they're radically changing my perspective on youth. They're radically changing my perspective on how we're going to end this human trafficking thing. And they're just making me a better person.
Okay. Before you started all this, did you have any kind of background in business?
No, zero. I mean, literally couldn't even do an Excel spreadsheet. And I'm lucky if I can do one at this point.
Okay. Because I think some of my listeners have like things on their heart, but they just... We tell ourselves, no, we can't do things like that. I remember when I felt definitely pushed toward this by God, doing a podcast. I'm like, well, because I'm a nurse, too. And I'm like, that don't make no sense. So anyway, I mean, what would you say to somebody who has a thing, but they're just not really sure what to do? What was the first thing you did once you felt like you should do something?
Well, I will tell you that I was radically disobedient for about 3 years.
Okay.
So I still love Jesus, still went to church, still did all those things, and I knew that he was calling me to this. And I was like, nope.
Why?
Nope. Because I knew. I mean, I knew deep down inside that it was going to be something that was bigger, and I knew deep down inside that that meant that I would have to sacrifice everything. I just knew that from the beginning, and I was like, I'm just not really interested in that. Thank you. It was scary, right? And it was like the unknown. I mean, it wasn't like he was like, you're going to have a candle company, right? He didn't say that because I would have been like, really? And so I knew that that's what I was being called to. And I still went over to Ethiopia all the time because I was like, this is what he's calling me to, right? I pack my little Toms and my cute little shirt and head on over to Africa because that's what he's calling me to. But really what he was calling me to was this path of obedience where I would actually have to fully surrender my entire self, physically, mentally, emotionally, and to be in places that I wasn't good so that I would have to fully rely upon him. Yes. Because I am proof, I am 100% proof that if something could succeed in spite of somebody, it's this company, right? All the time I'm like, this is succeeding in spite of me. Do I work hard and do I do all the things I'm supposed to do? And yeah, absolutely. But there are many times that this company should not have succeeded. And it wasn't like I was being reckless or any of those other things, but it succeeded in spite of me. And so we often think we are so much bigger than God. Like, I just know better. I don't have a business degree. And he's like, okay, I don't know how to fundraise. And so I think that we just get so wrapped up inside of ourselves and we forget like who's actually calling us and that like none of it matters. I say all the time, it's your will, it's your bill. I don't know how to make this money appear.
Definitely.
It has always appeared. Sometimes in the craziest of ways. And I'm like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Just from like people you didn't expect or what?
People that I didn't expect or people I don't know. Or like, I mean, like random like $10,000 checks in the mail from like people I literally have never met. And they're like, oh, I watched your video and I was moved to tears. You know, here's $10,000. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
But it's more than that. And that like college kids that will save up and donate, you know, $200 a month that you know that they can't give that. And so I think that it's just crazy to watch when you just move yourself. You just do what you're called to do, right? And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
The easy part is dreaming it.
Yeah. And if you're doing what you know you are supposed to do, it really doesn't matter how big it is because you're doing what you're right. supposed to do and he'll grow it or not. I mean,
that's the craziest thing, right? Is that I kind of am in what the Christian world seems to think is like the superstar. I run an anti-human trafficking organization. I go to Africa. I feed kids, you know, you're like, I've made it, right? The second that you tell anybody in church that you serve in Africa, you've been notched up 3 golden steps, right? And what I try to tell people all the time is that the majority of my like life work happens at coffee meetings with people that I would least expect it, or it happens at a conversation at dinner. I do not take lightly the privilege that I get and serving over in Africa. But that's not when you make it, right? Everybody, yeah. especially in the Christian world, that's like, oh, I made it. I'm like, I'm over here. No, no, no. Your mission field is right between your 2 feet.
Yeah, wherever you are. Tommy John is the 21st century clothing company famous for its unbelievably comfortable men's underwear. And lucky for us ladies, they've come out with a long anticipated women's line. When I knew they were going to be a sponsor to the show, they asked me for sizing and I assumed it was for my husband because they only sell men's things. And he was excited to try them. And lo and behold, when I opened it up, it was all for me. I love when that happens. So I can tell you guys from firsthand experience, these things are fantastically comfortable. They pride themselves on their commitment to comfort. And they have a best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. So let's face it, women have it so bad with our undergarments being uncomfortable. And that's why I'm so glad that Tommy John, who is amazing at making comfortable men's underwear, has decided to do something about the women's underwear problem. They use luxuriously soft fabrics. So there's no rolling, there's no bunching, there's no pilling, there's no wedgies, there's no visible panty lines. So ladies, you really have nothing to lose. Stop picking at your underwear. Nobody wants to see that. And instead, pick the most comfortable pair of underwear on the planet. Tommy John. No adjustment needed. So hurry to TommyJohn.com/MSW and you'll get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/MSW for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/MSW. So are you going to adopt this girl?
This is where the story gets really interesting.
Okay.
It's about 2 years ago, she was kidnapped.
What?
Yeah, so I will not be adopting her.
Do you know where she is?
I do not. On my last trip over, which was about 1 year ago, I think. I'm really horrible at time. About 1 year ago, I was able to see her under like some court supervision for like literally 2 minutes. But yeah, it's definitely not the happy ending that I signed up for. That's for sure.
How? I mean, I have friends who live in Africa and have quote unquote adopted kids. I know it's very different there. You just kind of like start being their mom. There's not like,
yeah.
It's not like official how it would be here with paperwork and a judge and
right.
a gavel and all that. But so, I mean, knowing that culture and her being part of it, I'm sure there and going 4 times a year, like she
yeah,
was
I mean,
your
she
daughter.
Called me mom.
Yeah.
You nor nobody else on this planet could not tell me that she's not mine. Yeah, it's definitely the hardest chapter in the story to tell. But yeah, I don't know for sure what will come out of it.
So she was literally taken by a stranger or taken by somebody and you know who?
Taken by somebody and we kind of sort of know who. I mean, it's a
Gosh.
Very, Africa in
yes.
itself as a continent is a very complex, but then Ethiopia is incredibly even more complex. And so it's like, well, we think that these people took her, but we're not sure. And obviously where I am, money follows. And so it's very political
oh,
and it's
gosh.
Very, I know, it's disgusting.
How do you manage your day when, wow, how do you do that?
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you start an organization, I mean, essentially for her. She was about 6 when I started seeing her. Maybe a little younger, maybe like 5-ish. And I knew that I only had so many years to make her life better if I couldn't get her back over here. And I knew that the way to do that was to improve her entire community, that it had to bring jobs and resources, and that by the time that she turned 18 and she wanted to come back to the States that she could, or if she didn't want to come back to the States, that she could be raised up as a leader in her own community. And so, I mean, it's hard. It's definitely hard. I mean, seeing pictures of her, and I speak a lot and do podcasts like this, and it always comes up. And I think her name means to be made complete. And she definitely has completed me in so many ways. But what I can't lose sight of is that there are Mulus everywhere who need somebody to fight for them. And if Mulu gets to come home to Ohio with me someday, or I get to be with her someday in Africa, that I know that my life is better for her having been in it. And I like to believe that her life is better for me having been in it. And that what came out of that is that thousands of people's lives have been changed because the two of us were able to share that deep love.
Dang, girl.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean,
I love that.
Yeah, I don't love it either. Yeah, I definitely don't love it either. I mean, I'm sitting at my desk, and on my desk is a picture of she and I, and I wish a million times over that I was having to tell her to be quiet while we were doing this interview, or that she was, you know, I had to rush out the door to go pick her up from school, or we go to Disney World, or, but unfortunately, that's not how this story gets to be told.
Okay. Do you go then still to her community regularly where everything's happening?
I do. This will be the first year in 5 or 6 years that I am not going. I'm taking this year off. I just need to be able to kind of cope and deal with what has happened, to be able to know that when I go back, she's not going to be there.
You need time to come to grips that she won't be there next time. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a part of you that wants to just scrap the whole thing, at least the Africa part of it?
Absolutely. But I committed to her that I would make her community better.
Okay, so let me ask you, because arguably you've done that.
Arguably I have, for sure.
So can you be done? I'm not trying to make you be done.
No, obviously. No. There's a lot of people that are like, you should be done. It's interesting. It just doesn't have the same. I mean, the last time I went, it was devastating, right? Because you get off the plane, it's the same smells, same feels, it's all these different things. It's driving out to the city. I mean, I met with every official, literally every official from Addis Ababa to Ambo that was regional, federal, state, local. I met with police. I met with attorneys. I met with everybody, like, where is my child? And then you leave and you're without, I mean, like, it's devastating. And so you've started this thing and you started this company. And so then I don't know. I don't know how do you walk away from it, or how do you stay? I don't know that I have that answer.
Okay.
How do I walk away being like, okay, yep, I did the best I could, but have I? Like, I mean, is there more work to be done? But how do you stay when it is gut-wrenching?
Yes.
I don't know that I really have that answer.
I don't think anybody does. There's not a way. You're like stuck in a middle place.
Yeah. That's why I'm taking this year off and not going, is that I want to be able to, one, tell the story without this like big gaping hole. And two, I want to be able to know that whatever I decide, that I'm able to do it and to do it to the best of my ability. So am I able to go back to her community and know that there are thousands of more Mulus who need, no, there will never be another Mulu, right? But that there are still little girls that are being bought and sold, that there are still little kids that are begging for their next meal. And so I have the resources and the ability to make their life better. And I don't know that that's
just because of your own pain. Yeah,
it's because of my own pain, right? And so we're in the season of Easter and Lent and all those different things. And something that I've learned in my life is that I so quickly want to be resurrected Amber without going through the crucifixion, right? I want to pick up my resurrection before I even pick up my cross.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? It's first the pain, then the waiting, then the rising.
Yes.
I'm in this awful 3-day waiting period where it sucks and it's dark. But here's the thing about darkness is that even just a glimmer of light, think about when you're like out camping and it's just as dark as it can be and you see this little firefly and you see that like flicker of light, you're just drawn to that flicker of light. Mm-hmm. The flicker of light for me is knowing that today kids aren't going hungry because we're feeding them. And that flicker of light for me is knowing that there are women that are building each other houses in our community one by one. They're all living together. And then when they build a house, somebody gets it. And then they build another house and then somebody gets it.
Oh my gosh.
That to me is a glimmer of light. And so is the darkness of the Mulu situation absolutely, utterly, utter darkness and devastating? Absolutely. But I still have the ability to change these people's lives. And maybe it's not me that goes. Maybe it's that I train up somebody else and they go. I don't know. But I know that my work there is not done.
Okay. But I love that you're taking that time for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I decided this year, like pretty early on into therapy, that I just really needed to, and my therapist was like, you're absolutely not going. And I super respect her. And so I was like, you're fine. You're right. I probably shouldn't go this year. But in taking that time to be able to spending time figuring out, like, what does this mean? How do I heal from this kind of thing? Instead of just being like, oh, I'm just not going.
Yeah, you need to be actively healing.
And actively grieving, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing about grief, is that you actually have to actively do it. It's an active process.
Yeah, man. Well, Amber, sorry. No, stop it. That's, I mean, because we all have those things that we're grieving, and a lot of us won't even acknowledge that there's any grief to be grieved. And so then you kind of just sit in this unhealth.
I think that's the thing about grief, right? So I was a hospice nurse, and so I got to be around, you know, death and dying. I worked on an inpatient unit. So if you were coming to us, you were dying. And what I learned was the best way I could serve my patients' families is if I could help them actively grieve. So I would say, okay, like, okay, today your mom is talking, but tomorrow she's probably not going to. And today she's walking, and tomorrow she's not going. So you have to grieve that your mom, you're never going to see your mom walk again. And you need to grieve that she's not going to talk to you again. And so I think we have to look at these different things in our life and grieve that your children are not going to be babies forever, and grieve that they're not going to be toddlers forever. Praise be to God, right? And so I think that we as a society, we don't actually process grief.
Yeah.
And so I think that we actually have to dig into this and sit in this really horrible space and grieve, right? I have to grieve the fact that Mulu is likely never going to be in my arms. That sucks. There's no other way to put that.
Yeah.
But I have to grieve what I once had and understand that, like, next time I go to Africa, she's not going to be there. But you have to actively grieve that. And I think that we dismiss that as a society in a big, big way.
Well, I think that we're afraid that we'll never come out on the other side.
Sure. And that's the thing, is that even the darkest night, the sun always comes.
Yeah.
And it may be the next 3 days before you see that sunlight. And it may be a year of grieving, 2 years of grieving. You have to get through that grief in order to be able to get to the rising.
I just have a question, though. I mean, obviously, I'm not that familiar with kidnapping, but do you think she's still alive? Do you have like an idea?
I do. I mean, I feel like I would know, right? Like, I feel like I would just know, like, in my, like, soul.
Okay.
Which is why I think I still have, like, I have some strange ability to have, like, hope beyond hope. Okay. I don't know what it is. But I do believe that she is still alive.
Do you think it's a trafficking situation?
I think it's more of a political money situation.
So they want money from you?
I mean, it's never been asked directly.
Gosh.
There's a lot that I, one, don't understand, right? Like, I'll be over there and I'm like, what are they saying? What are they, like, and their culture is so very different than ours. Yeah. And so there's a lot that even I don't think I fully understand what's going on.
Man, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Well, I really could very genuinely talk to you for ages. But we're out of time.
I hear you.
I do want to ask you, though, what is something that you cannot stop talking about these days? Such a strange gear shift from what we were just talking about. I'm sorry.
I would probably say, and this is, everybody's going to be like, that was the worst thing ever. Probably Brene Brown and EMDR. I swear that's like the only thing I'm talking about right now. Because I'm so passionate about what Brene like teaches and like what she believes. Yeah. And so incredibly passionate about like how much EMDR actually really can change people's lives.
Yes. Do you know Brandy Lee?
No.
Beauty for Ashes, Uganda?
No.
You need to know her. You guys will be BFFs. I'll connect you guys.
All right. Perfect.
Yay. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Emily.
I hope you love that as much as I do. It is really hard to know that her sweet kiddo that she loves is gone and somewhere, and who knows how that story is going to end. And as I was talking to her and then going back and re-listening to it, I just felt so proud of her for sticking in it, even though that's got to be excruciating. I can't even imagine. So when you think about it, pray for Amber. A couple of things I wanted to mention. We talked about Brandy Lee. She also does a lot of trauma work with women in Africa. She's been on the show twice. It was episode 58 and episode 32. Those have continued to be some of the most downloaded episodes of this whole podcast. So if any of that is interesting, go back and listen to those. Both of these women are making great impacts around the world, both here and in Africa. So I would love for you to get involved in what Brandy's doing and in what Amber's doing. Also, we talked about EMDR. That stuff's really powerful. So if you find that you're like stuck on a trauma that you had, I would really encourage you to go to somebody who
can help you get unstuck. There's a book that I'm reading that is incredibly hard to read, but so good and so spot on. It's called The Body Keeps the Score by someone named Bessel van der Kolk. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but when terrible things happen to us, and we've all experienced trauma on some level, it kind of gets stuck in our bodies and we're not meant to live that way. So if there's something that we can do to fix it, I think that we should. So maybe your strategy to struggle well can be looking into some of this stuff this week. And let me just say for a second, you needing to get outside help does not mean that you A, aren't trusting God enough, or B, are too big of a failure, or whatever it is that's coming against you getting help. God is not displeased with you when you need to go get help. In fact, could it be argued that the help that came was a provision from God? I'm just going to leave that right there. Maybe this week you buy a bunch of candles from Amber. I recommend, I like all of them. I've tried three different ones, but my very favorite one in life is Honey Fig. Amber, if you're listening, you got my address, okay? So you do the right thing. Amber has graciously offered to give Mom Struggling Well listeners 25% off of their order. So when you go to 11thcandleco.com, use the coupon code STRUGGLINGWELL, all one word, to get 25% off. But they're amazing. Their candles are so, so good. They last forever and they go for a good cause. So maybe you struggle well this week by spending your money at 11th Candle Company. What did you guys think about her idea of celebrating failure? I've sure never thought of that. But doesn't it make sense that that would then change the culture into a culture of openness and where you guys can cheer each other on, because even if things go terrible, they're still going pretty great. You still get donuts. Seeing failure as learning opportunity changes everything. So maybe you struggle well this week by making that shift in your family culture. I like to encourage all of you to use the Mom Struggling Well show affiliate link when you shop on Amazon. I thought I would bring my sister back so that we can talk about what y'all are buying using that affiliate link. By the way, we don't know who you are, so please don't be nervous. We're just glad you used the link. You buy whatever you want. The more, the merrier. What did you love that was purchased using the show's affiliate link this week?
Well, I don't know that I loved them, but I did find one talking about a natural silk pillowcase seems regular. That's a normal thing to buy.
Uh-huh.
Somebody was super unhappy. One-star review says, this was very harsh, cheap material, it's no good. It also made my hair itch.
Whoa. Hair doesn't have nerves, so it's impossible.
She's struggling, though.
Okay.
Somebody else...
Let me interrupt you for just a second, and I have to be honest.
Okay.
I bought that pillowcase.
That was me. Is your hair itching?
My hair will not stop itching.
God.
But for reals, Eric, my husband, likes to tell me that I'm like Paris Hilton, because I'm really not. But whenever I do anything like buy a silk pillowcase, he is like, are you kidding me right now? But it's supposed to be good for your skin and your hair. And, you know, with curly hair, I know you're wearing your hair curly now. It really needs all the help it can get to not be super frizzy and crazy town.
I get that. I rebought pillowcases because my daughter's hair. I was like, what are you doing at night to cause this? So I get that. But here's another thing. Somebody else said, I bought this pillowcase with high hopes of eliminating the following. Bedhead, acne, wrinkles, and having a cooler pillowcase.
That's a lot to put on an $18 pillowcase.
She said it was almost 40. But I agree. Oh. How could your pillowcase eliminate your wrinkles?
Well, maybe somebody bought a nicer one, because mine was not $40.
But she says it's $40 trash.
That's so good. Well, here's what it has done for me. I feel fancy. Love that. Love feeling fancy. Number two, I wash my face because I get lazy and I'm like, whatever. And I fall in the bed and I'm asleep before I even hit the pillow. But not on a white silk pillowcase. No, ma'am.
Oh, you gotta wash your face. Oh, well, that's good. Is that pretty much, was that your motivation? Or it's the hair?
Yeah, mainly the hair. I don't know if it's helped. Maybe it has.
How are the wrinkles?
I have no more wrinkles. I don't know what happened. There's like collagen in that pillowcase.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
5 stars. Okay.
All right, guys, let's land this plane. Let me pray for us. Lord, we would like our stories to be done. We would like them to be finished and tidy and shiny, but you know better. You know what's good for us. You know what would actually bless us as opposed to what we think would.
So I pray today for people who are in the middle of the thick of it, of the really hard, unresolved heartbreak. God, would you give an extra measure of comfort that is palpable? Lord, you know exactly how to speak to our hearts to where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are not alone. And I pray that for these women who are in the waiting places. God, I pray that you'd help us to live authentically, help us to be brave and honest about the hard things, the places we get stuck. And I pray that you would direct us to the next thing that we need to do to get more healing and be more whole so that we can have a better understanding of who we are in you and who you are to us. In Jesus' name.